Now we have the first recognition of the public. Is there anybody from the public who would like to say anything?
Yes, here, I'm here.
Please state your name and your address and try to limit your comments, if at all possible, to 3 minutes.
Sure, okay. My name is Steve Ackaway. I'm at 1 Rusty Drive in Clinton Township. And I was just listening to the meeting, and I'd just like to make a few comments. One is, I'm just concerned as to what was the past method that we used here in Clinton Township for the appointment? That would be, I guess, of Mr. Carroll, or possibly even before him, if anybody's aware of it. What was the method that we used last time? We're having a large discussion here of, you know, the method that we want to use and who's going to be involved. I'm just curious as to what was the last method used.
The last time we hired a superintendent, the board, we had no teachers and no parents involved. We did involve the stakeholders in getting their opinion on what they were looking for in a superintendent. So we had a representative from a search firm met with teachers at the various schools, met with members of the Education Foundation, met with the mayor and the council, I believe. And then we had a community meeting where anybody in the community was invited to attend. So to get input from the stakeholders, we were able to do that. But as far as the interviewing process was concerned, it was just the Board of Education.
Okay. Was the survey used as well as that time?
I don't believe so. You were on the board then. I don't think. There wasn't a survey sent out like we have now. But what the representative from the search firm did was he collated the opinions, different things people had to say. And that information was shared with the Board of Education. So it wasn't a survey per se, where individual people in the community filled out a survey and submitted it to him or to the board. But he took the opinions and the comments and the concerns raised by the various stakeholder groups and shared that information with the Board of Education.
Okay. Another question I was concerned with is, it was actually for Dr. Fine, so I'll ask it anyway. It had to do with, him being a professional that we hired to represent us in this particular area. I was just concerned what method he's using or has used. I know what he's recommending here as far as who should be present, but I just like to know what, it seems like he's kind of putting it back on us, and I felt like we should have really a little bit more stronger input from him as to what would work for this. I know he says that he thinks it'd be a bad idea to invite the public, and he mentioned the confidentiality situation. I understood all that, but I just felt like he was putting it back on us as opposed to being a little bit more strong and maybe coming up with more data for us as to why he felt it would be better to not have the public involved. I feel like the board had more knowledge than he did on that subject, and that made me a little uncomfortable.
I really don't know how to respond to that. I know he's done a number of, I think it was close to 200 searches for superintendents, and his background and recommendation to us is that the board do the interviewing. That's his recommendation.
Right.
But we as a Board of Education, are entitled to disagree with him and to come up with our own recommendation. He made certain recommendations. Well, all right. So we as a board have the final say on how that would be done.
Right. And then I guess alongside of that, I was just, other than the issues that were mentioned, the transparency and the trust, to build that up with the public, what other pros and cons there might be to make it easier for the board to make this decision. In other words, it seemed like you were kind of all worried about that transparency and trust factor. I guess the idea of the survey is to have the public involved, right? Isn't that the main purpose of the survey?
To have them involved to the degree that the board is aware of what their thinking is. And the survey, I don't know if you had an opportunity to look at the survey online, but it covers a variety of different areas and different concerns. So it's, to me, invaluable input for the Board of Education.
Yeah, again, from a public perspective, I would think that we should maybe put a little more emphasis on the survey if you were looking for the transparency and trust. I think the decision, I think Mark had mentioned that, you know, this is the hired, this is the elected group. And, you know, we kind of rely on all of you being in these meetings all the time to have better information than the public has. So it's very hard for any public person to come in here and just be able to, like, you know, come up with anything that's going to be fruitful. But I think for the most part, putting more pressure on the public to pay attention to the survey, and that, you know, that the board is really going to read these surveys and really consider these surveys, and this is your chance to kind of make a difference, might be helpful, you know, from a public standpoint.
Maria, can you share what we're doing at, as in terms of communication,
sure,
to make as many members of the public aware of the survey and how we're encouraging them?
Mm-hmm. Sure. We have written a letter that was sent out to all the parents in the district that gave them information on the purpose of the survey, how to access the survey, and the anonymity of the survey as far as who participates in answering questions. That has been sent to the parents as direct emails on one basis, and this week it will a reminder will go out as well. We have a piece of communication that again goes out to the public that can be accessed, I believe, on our district website called Tuesday Tidings. It's been in there. Tuesday Tidings.
Oh, okay.
And then on our district website, we have the survey on the page, very large, to invite people to come and participate. We've also written a press release to the Democrat electronic media, paper media, to get that information. It's been in paper media. It's also been on NJ.com. We've also written a letter to the editor and to give people information as well on why we're doing the survey, how to access the survey, and again, the anonymity. So that has gone out on several occasions, and another wave of that will go out this week as well. We have also called the township business administrator. He has put that information on the website, the town website as well. And I think what he had mentioned to me is that once it goes on the town website, it will then be distributed through their individual emails as well.
Is that, when you mentioned that it goes out to the public, does that go also to non-public? Would that, you know?
Can you help me define non-public, please?
Well, in other words, you know, I guess the children who are attended non-public schools.
If they live in this community, we have accessed them through print media, electronic media, and as well as through the town's website.
So what media was it that was print for the non-public?
The Harlan Democrat, the Courier,
okay,
News, NJ.com.
Okay, and what media would be best for the senior citizens?
They read the Democrat. They have access to our website.
Okay, so
there's a special section on the website that talks about the superintendent search and lists every piece of information we've put out to the general public about the processes and press releases and all of that. That's all on the website, and the seniors have access to that.
All right, thank you.
Sure, thank you.
That's all.
Okay.
Is it being put out on Tuesday Tidings again?
It will be on Tuesday Tidings tomorrow. Sure.
Under old business, we went to executive session already, so there's no need for us to go to executive session. Under old business, I'd like the superintendent to share with the board the meeting he had this morning at the State Department.
I attended the meeting of the inter-district public school choice districts in all of the state, where there was a Q&A at the end. Mr. Jeff Scott, the Executive County School Business Administrator, asked a question regarding where we stand. And I had sent an email to the board to the effect of his question regarding what is the process for a board to either remove themselves from the program or limit the program. And according to the acting director, Maggie Downham, with the chief of staff, Mr. Hespy, Dave Hespy there, and the legislative liaison, Chris, I can't remember Chris's last name. The response was that we had, for the statutory time frame of April 30th, to say that you wanted to be in the program, and then again, also say that you didn't want to be in the program. If a board decided to exit at that time, they could do so. But as we have already made application to the Department of Ed to tell them how many seats we had open, that we advertised, we are bound to see the process through, and anything that the board would like to do in the way of limiting the amount of students or exiting from the program would be put on the 2013-14 school year.
So are we bound by all 74 now? Even we sent 60 conditional out. Are we bound the entire 74? What are you telling
me? There would be no way that we get to 74, Mr. Freda, because the time frame is closed for anyone to make application to us. That was December 1st. So we have people already on a waiting list for 2013, but they would not be able to be in this this round.
And so our final count for this year is 60, plus 55.
Correct. If those all 60 agree that they, the next process that they would get back to us and say that they would intend.
Got it. Thank you.
So we're not planning on sending any letters of conditional acceptance to anybody who missed the application deadline?
That is correct.
Okay. So we're looking at a maximum of 60.
Right. And as Mr. Freda said, we already have the 55 in the program going into next year. So
okay, thank you.
Total right now could be possibly 115.
Could be possibly?
We have to hear back from the parents whether or not of the 60 that they all want to.
That would be the most.
That would be the most, thank you.
What's the deadline for that response?
The 28th.
Of January?
Yes. I'm sorry, the 14th and the 28th is tier two. But we have no non-public people that made it into who applied in time.
If someone was coming out of a non-public school, they have a different deadline?
They were supposed to make application just to December 1st, but the way that it works, all seats are to be filled by public school children first, and then if you have seats still open, then you are to tell the non-public.
So the 60, they would have to reply to us by January 14th?
Yes.
Which is Friday, right? Mm-hmm.
Friday.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's right.
Yes.
How many have you gotten as of today?
I do not know.
We've gotten some.
Saturday. I believe so.
Okay.
I believe Saturday the 14th.
Saturday, that's a strange day.
Yeah.
Could we be kept updated as the numbers come?
Yes, I can tell the board exactly what the actual acceptance is.
Now, I'm a little confused. There was an email from Maggie Downham that said, since school choice, and this may not apply, but this is, the districts may choose to adjust their openings, but they are encouraged to change their website so that the public is aware of the change. So,
what change?
The change in the number.
I think that's before you send out the letters, right? And that's to change the number of open, advertised open positions, right?
So if we apply for 125 and then we, in October, decided it should be 70.
Right.
They want us to revise our website to say it's.
Right, but we're well past that. I mean, we already sent out the letters, right?
Was the website changed then?
We didn't revise our.
We were always at 74 for the total seats for next year.
Okay.
But the.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding. What do you think?
I'm just asking is if, according to this, we can choose to adjust the number of openings that we apply for, but we just have to change the website according to what she had written. And I don't know if this, like if there's a date involved in this or not involved in this, but, because I know we had been talking about, we'll do an analysis and then make a decision as to how broad and big we want the program to be extended to. And so I'm just trying to understand this language relative to that.
Okay, yeah, I don't have it in front of me. I presume that means before you've already told people they're in, right? I think that's...
Okay. Now, my next question is, how did that happen? We had a board meeting on December 19th, I believe, Monday.
On the 19th.
And we talked for quite a while about we had an ad hoc committee meeting about school choice, and we wanted to know when was the deadline for telling the county how many kids we were taking. There was a cutoff for later in January, was my recollection, and it was the 14th, the 18th, somewhere thereabouts. It was the second half of the month of January, and we were talking about wanting to get feedback on the program and the finances surrounding the program, student-to-teacher ratios, and just to get some public feedback and some teacher feedback, I think, or just community feedback, before we decided how many to accept.
Correct.
And my recollection was, my point was, I think the finances would work out from what I've seen in the past. However, we should do that analysis so that we know for sure before we make the decision to take the kids. And then that meeting was the following week, I think. No, it was January 4th.
I guess I wasn't clear enough, Mr. Sturgis. I said we can do all those things, but that would be applied to the 2013-14 year.
That was not clear
at
all.
My understanding was that anything we do right now, because of the way that we advertise we're going through, that we would hold to the accounts that we said that were available.
How could we do 13-14 if we don't even...
We haven't even applied.
Right, the board can decide not to do anything or limit the seats or zero out seats in certain grades.
I got that. But
from the original plan that was set out by the board over a year and a half ago, it went out that this is our original program, here are the seats that we're opening, and then as it goes through, it is up to myself and the leadership team to decide what we have in the way of openings to continue on. If the board would like to not function in the program anymore, the board can pass a resolution to do so.
So you were planning for 13-14, not even knowing the program was...
No, I'm not planning for 13-14.
But if you listen to the video, which I asked all the board members to do...
The audio.
I'm sorry. If you listen to the audio. To me, it was clear that board members were under the impression that we were talking about admitting students for the upcoming school year, the 2012-2013 school year.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't, it was also clear that board members had expressed a concern that they didn't want any additional students admitted until they've had an opportunity to evaluate the program.
Mm-hmm.
But then 3 days after that meeting, a letter went out indicating that those children had been accepted into the program for the 2012-2013 school year. So you're telling the board tonight that it was your understanding at the December 19th Board of Education meeting that when board members were asking questions about evaluating the program and stating that they had a concern about admitting any additional students into the program, your thinking was that, or you thought that they were talking about the 2013-2014 school year?
That if they wanted to effect any change, meaning limit the numbers or not accept any more students, that's where the effect would be. Okay. That anything we would do next year was talking about the program itself and how we service those children or our district with school choice. One of the things, like what we do with the additional revenue, those types of things.
I think it would have helped matters a lot if at the December 19th meeting the board had been told, or the board knew, that those kids for the 2012-2013 school year had already been approved to be in the program.
They hadn't.
Or that we
they
were
hadn't.
They hadn't, but we were obligated.
We were not.
No, we weren't. Not yet. Because we specifically asked to have the ad hoc committee meeting moved up because we were told that the deadline for those letters to go out was either January 14th or January 18th. Both dates were discussed around during that meeting. That's why we asked to move the ad hoc committee up so early in the year so that we could get that information back.
And that's when Mark said, gee, that gives us a month to evaluate the information before we make a decision.
And the
we
release of those letters at the meeting, at the ad hoc committee meeting, threw a lot of people into mass confusion.
Yeah, but I think Kevin is saying that we as a district didn't have a choice.
We did.
For the 12-13 school year.
And that's not how I understood it, Mr. Sturgis.
Well, I think we asked for 74. I think the revised number we put in, or we were approved for 74. Mm-hmm. And we had 60 applicants. I think if we had not sent those acceptance letters on the 22nd, we would have had leeway to adjust the number based on the feedback and the financial analysis that we wanted to perform before potentially taking 74 kids in for a maximum of 9 years, potentially. If you take a kindergartner in, you have them for 9 years. Mm-hmm. That was the whole discussion was, we think, my input was, I think the math will work out because I had looked at it previously, but we should still do that analysis. What does it do to the student-to-teacher ratio? How many staff do we have to hire to maintain student-to-teacher ratio? See how much money, what is the net gain by bringing those kids in and taking in the tuition? And then we would really know how much money we had, because I think what spurred the conversation was the discussion of the full-day kindergarten.
Right.
And paying for it with this money.
And from my perspective, it's not only just a math exercise, but it's a plan. What are we going to do in the future with this program? How are we going to spend our money? What are our current needs for our students? Are we meeting those needs? What are our thresholds for staffing? And how do we build that and have a very robust staffing plan to meet those needs? So yes, the math, we talked about that and I agree with it, but I believe that an overall business plan or a plan on how this program is going to interact and work within our district was something we were trying to get at as well. And for me, I don't know about the rest of you, but it was very clear to me that we were doing things to get information before the deadline had to occur for 2012-2013. And I'm shocked to learn that that wasn't what the takeaway was. And that 3 days later, after that meeting, where to me it was exceptionally clear, 60 letters went out, didn't say conditional on them, and accepted 60 students into our program.
And furthermore, on the audio, if you listen to it, Kevin says he was taking notes on what the board members were saying. So I'm not sure how he miscommunicated the message that all of us agreed that we needed to do the math before we move forward with this program.
So is it a fact, or do we need more information with regard to these 60 letters that went out? That's a done deal?
According to the Department of Ed today, yes.
According to the sheet that we put on our website, apparently, the notice of conditional acceptance of rejection was supposed to go out on January 4th, and the parents then respond by January 14th. So the date has passed.
Well, I went talked to attorneys at school boards today, and they basically said that, you know, we could write a letter back to these folks and say it was a conditional letter, and that letter should not have been sent out to you. The board has not taken, the board hadn't taken formal action to decide what we were going to do as far as expanding the program.
But Michelle, wasn't that part of your request for an ad hoc committee? You know,
yes.
I mean, maybe you could shed light on the goal. That was the goal, one of your goals, to establish this committee. I mean, that was
yes.
The purpose of having this and meeting.
That's why we specifically asked during that meeting to move that committee meeting up as soon as possible so that we could meet what we thought were the deadlines.
And we also wanted to know exactly what the drop-dead deadlines were for this entire process from start to finish.
I don't know that, you know, like the 60 students that receive letters, you know, potentially, if we had done the analysis, my opinion is we would want these kids to enroll, and we want them to feel welcome. We want their parents to feel comfortable. It's just we kind of put the cart before the horse, and having this discussion about are we obligated to take these kids, it's kind of an unfortunate discussion because it has a negative tinge to it, and that's not how you want to welcome people in. We enrolled in the program intentionally. We want people to be attracted to the school. I just wish we had followed through with the discussion we had had on the 19th, and it would have been a non-issue. That meeting was a week and a half later. The ad hoc committee was meeting a week and a half later, and I thought that's where we would vet some of this stuff out. And then shortly thereafter, I assumed we would have validated the need and the headcount and the revenue And then we could have sent out the letters, you know, in good faith with good intent and welcome these people in with no reservation.
Do we still have a meeting scheduled for the 11th? That was the next scheduled meeting
that
committee.
That was the next
committee.
Scheduled meeting. We have not sent out a confirmation with anybody of location or anything like that. I think that's a conversation that the board members from that ad hoc committee need to have to determine how to proceed with that.
Okay.
So we'll...
I would ask that after we conclude this meeting tonight, that members of that ad hoc committee stay and meet with me.
Yep.
To discuss that.
I also think we need to decide what we should do with the letter that has been sent out at this point in time. You know, I think from my past work experience, every day a letter that's out there that has misinformation in it, potential misinformation in it, stays out there. It then becomes more binding. And so I think it's incumbent upon the board to very quickly decide what to do with that letter and have a response for that letter.
My opinion as board president is we're not going to do anything with that letter until we get a legal opinion from our attorney. Mm-hmm. And he was faxed a copy of that letter this morning.
Okay.
And I've been assured that he'll get back to me within a matter of a day or two.
Okay.
What a different tact. I mean, we should do that, but in parallel, could we do the analysis that we had discussed?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
I think the analysis is a good idea, irrespective, because even, you know, at this point, assuming we're all moving forward, we've got the 60 slots filled, and assuming the math works, and I think, Kevin, you're right, we've now got a framework for 2013, 14, and beyond, where we can actually go in with a more informed body on school choice going forward. So
to add to that, Mr. Malloy, I think, you know, just as I gave information to the board, and I guess I'm not hitting what you're needing in the way of business plan or criteria, the overall is, since I started July 1st, 2009, we're down 100 students, and we're up 13 staff members. So I think, you know, when we think of what's going on in our buildings, what's going on in our schools, we're moving towards best practice. Full inclusion, bringing back positions that were lost in other budgets, as well as not sharing staff across buildings wherever possible. So those are the different things that I've been able to do as we move towards and just started school choice. So those are some of the criteria. What I'm not hearing is what else would you want in the way of the business plan? I sent the board class sizes.
Yeah, I went out to
I sent you everything, as well as we have $1.3 million coming in next year. The budget can be balanced, but without that, it won't be.
When did we get the class sizes?
I went out today.
Today?
Yeah.
What time?
Kevin sent it. It was sent to the whole board.
Okay.
It had the revenue projections, it had the class sizes, it had all the information, the enrollment numbers, it was all there.
That was similar to the spec sheet at the ad hoc committee.
Right. That's correct.
My assessment of the business plan, Kevin, would be somewhere along the lines of a balance sheet analysis for openers. This is the revenue coming in the door. These are the costs attendant to these extra 60 to 115 students. Here's our assumption of full enrollment. What are the classifications, as Marie pointed? Do the students require, are the thresholds met where we need to hire additional special staff for kids with learning challenges? What are the curriculum
stresses?
Well,
and that's where I can't speak here in public, but
right.
I did give you that number, that amounts to, as well as the budget was based on 1,667 kids. Instead, we have 1,622. So we're already cash positive in the matter how we set the budget based on a projected enrollment. And within that enrollment is almost $650,000 from the state that we didn't expect to get this year, but we did.
Are the information, and again, I apologize for not saying evil, but the information you sent, is it sliced and diced?
Not
by grade.
What you're saying, by grade? No.
Because
by individual school choice child coming in and the impact on each class or the number,
right.
I give you with and without.
Okay.
What it looks like with the students in and without.
Okay, yeah, I mean, obviously you can understand, you know, a seventh grader coming in from school choice is going to have a much smaller financial impact on our district, potentially on the costs associated with ensuring the proper education, than a kindergartner or a first grader.
Let me do this. If anybody has anything specific they want to see in this business plan, send me an email. I'll collate the information. I'll share it with the rest of the ad hoc committee board members, and we'll put all that together and make sure that we get that addressed.
Cool. Okay.
I was expecting that analysis would produce a positive report at the back end. It's just we expected the kids, and now we produce the analysis. I think it would have been not have been a problem to produce that for the ad hoc committee, have discussion and let the ad hoc committee make a recommendation to the board. I thought that was the intent.
I agree with Kevin. Revenue is a good thing. It can't be a bad thing, but let's make sure it pans out here. You know, full day kindergarten. Do we know the costs involved? I wasn't at the meeting with Principal Goh, but you know, do we have textbooks? Do we have a cost for textbooks, for supplies? If we're going to run this program based on school choice, let's get the revenue against the costs for this particular program. I mean, it's a very simple thing. Let's break it down to supplies, textbooks, teacher, everything. Give us a line by line, like it's an accounting.
School choice or for full day kindergarten? Well, they're linked. We want to use school choice funds
for have enough time to get this
full day kindergarten.
Wednesday.
What I will do is I will. Please, anybody, if you have anything specific, send me an email within the next day, since time is of the essence, and the ad hoc committee will collate that and make sure that we can get everything.
Can I ask a question about the ad hoc committee? Because I didn't go, but it's my understanding that I thought the intention of the ad hoc committee was supposed to be a group of community members, board members, and parents that were currently in the program. And it's my understanding that there are parents that were not part of this year's school choice plan that were at the meeting. So, and the meeting did not go well, from what I've understood. So if we're having another meeting with the parents, are they a part of this ad hoc committee, or are they not a part of this ad hoc committee?
As you stated, the parents that are not in the program yet this year should not have been at that meeting. So I have asked them not to attend any further meetings.
Now, we also have some parents who have kids in now.
Via email?
No, I asked Mrs. Bobel to contact them, and so that if they have questions or concerns, they can talk to me personally.
Okay.
There were also parents there who had one child in the district, currently in school choice, but had applied for additional children, and I'm not so sure they should be there either, because that's the same situation as not having a child, because it potentially could impact.
But my take on that is if a kid has been accepted into our district through this program, they're part of our district and they're part of the community. So if the kid's in last year, part one of the 55, I think they have the same status as a kid who lives around the corner.
Yeah, you can't exclude
them.
That's
what I heard Mrs. Blackman say.
Yeah, you can't exclude them because they happen to have another kid that they may apply with.
But understand the implications of that. If you were discussing the pros and cons of that program and concerns about that program, that becomes very, very personal for that parent who has another child in the queue.
I know, but that's okay.
And that's how that is part of the reason how that meeting turned out the way it did.
Well, everybody wants transparency, right? I mean, how can you exclude them?
I mean if they're enrolled, I think they should be entitled to be considered for the committee. If they're not, if there's someone who applied, they're not in the program. They have no basis for being on an ad hoc committee.
Yeah.
If they don't have a student in the district.
Well, it all gets back to the purpose of the ad hoc committee.
Mm-hmm.
And what questions
yes.
it's actually trying to answer, which is a little fuzzy to me. I mean, I thought, so, you know, we have this financial analysis to do. We have evaluation of the program. There's a whole bunch of issues getting thrown around here. It's not exactly clear to me specifically what was the purpose of that meeting. What questions did we want to answer?
When we established the committee,
uh-huh.
I thought we crafted the mission of the committee.
I'm not a member, so it's to evaluate the program. Okay.
Yeah,
to
basically.
Evaluate the program.
And it was to answer the questions that the board has been asking over the past several meetings, which...
But didn't we then task the same ad hoc committee with kind of evaluating whether we wanted to go forward and take on new
yes.
people? And that's not necessarily an evaluation of it. That gets back to the financial analysis and other stuff. That I don't know if the ad hoc committee or the parents are in a position to evaluate.
The ad hoc committee was going to be asking those questions and
mm-hmm.
gathering input.
Okay.
Parents would not be able to give very much input at all as
right.
to what the variable cost of admitting a
of
student
course.
Is.
Yeah.
But it's still part of the ad hoc committee intent to provide that information to the board itself. So that information would come from the administration.
Yeah,
you can't assume that every member of the ad hoc committee can answer every question that it's tasked to. That's why we have a variety of members.
I would think that if a parent already had a child in the program, as Kevin said, that they should be allowed to attend the meeting.
I don't see how you could exclude them.
They're part of the school community.
Right, they got a child in. I mean, you can't exclude them.
All right, so I will meet with the members of that committee after this meeting.
I'm piggybacking on Kevin Carroll. said that there was a tentative meeting set for, there was a meeting on the 4th, and then a tentative on the 11th. Did we scrape the 11th?
We have not. We haven't scrapped the 11th, nor have we confirmed the 11th yet.
Okay.
I think that will be something we need
to
discuss,
so that's what we're
as a
talk
committee
about. Okay.
As well.
All right,
we
got to
do it before 10 o'clock, though. No good decisions. No good decisions.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
Related, but not particular to this discussion, is it's my understanding that there have been open houses scheduled for school choice, which I was unaware of. So the people that have been invited to the school choice open houses, could you elaborate on those, Mr. Carroll?
Yes, they were invited to come see the building before they replied with their intent forms.
So then it wouldn't be for future people applying for the supposed 2013-2014
school year.
Correct,
it's only for 2012-2013.
So those are only the 60 people that were conditionally accepted.
That is correct, Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yeah, I think that information should have come up at our last Board of Education meeting. The fact that we have open houses scheduled for 60 people, in the context of that discussion, is relevant.
Well, this did come up. Well,
it
not
did?
I don't remember where. This isn't the first I've heard of the open house, but I have to admit I don't remember where I heard it anymore.
It came in an email. I think it was an
email. It came somewhere. Because
I remember seeing it was spread over 4 days. There was a different open house each. Was it Monday through Thursday of this week?
It was an acceptance letter that was sent.
There was
that was
letter?
The only one
the
that I saw. It was in a letter
or was
to the
it
parents.
An email?
Well,
maybe it was
in
the
get,
letter.
I didn't get the acceptance letter, but I heard this information. But I don't know where I heard it.
Did you?
I heard it at least a week ago.
Did you apply for your child to be in the program?
I did.
He's
not.
Adopted.
So I heard this somewhere, but I don't remember whether it was in a meeting or whether an email came out, but there was some.
But it would only be those 60 then. Okay?
Was there more people from Clinton Township on the list that wanted to be on the ad hoc committee? Do we know that, or
anyone who applied?
Yeah, I mean, was there
Mrs. Bobel?
Oh, we took everybody who applied.
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
How many were there?
Clinton Township.
There were 24 people total, including board members and administrators.
Two people from Clinton Township.
Two.
Some teachers, some administrators, principals.
I don't know what the breakdown is.
There were two there. I don't know if there's anybody else on a printed list anywhere, but there were two people present.
From Clinton Township.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, right.
You were on it also, that committee?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, are you?
Yes.
So it's four board members, and there were two members of the public, or parents?
Well, from Clinton Township.
Two, and then there were parents who either had children already enrolled in school choice attending this year, or have been admitted for next year.
But there were others on the list who were not present.
All right, we move on to new business.
Yeah, so I have one question. Is there any way that we could go through the analysis tonight? Because I think it would be in the best interest of our own, just our PR, just that not to extend this any longer.
You know, from my point of view, the finances are a no-brainer. We're receiving, for each child, approximately our average cost of educating a child, which by definition has to exceed the variable cost of educating a child, okay? Because the everybody familiar with the terms here? If you take our total cost of educating a child, okay, and you know, you divide that by the number of the children, I don't know, it's somewhere between $12,000 and $14,000 a year. I don't remember the exact number. That includes the superintendent, includes the custodians, includes everything. When you add a child to a district, the variable costs include primarily additional teachers. For every 20 or 25 kids, assuming, depending on the distribution, worst case, you'd have to add a teacher. If you hit a big enough number, you might have to add a nurse or a guidance counselor or something else. You're not going to add another superintendent. You're not going to add another principal. There's no way that the variable cost can ever be as great as the average cost. Mathematically, it's impossible. So there is no way for the program to lose money. The only question in my mind is, how you spend the money. Do you hire more teachers to keep class sizes from growing? As some people have mentioned, that's an issue. Or do you use it to reduce the tax levy and let the class sizes go up a little bit? Those are all questions that I think should be answered with a plan. I think those are all fair questions. But all of these questions about that I keep hearing, like, are we sure that it doesn't lose money? I just don't get it. It's mathematically impossible, unless you admitted all kids with IEPs who all needed special needs above and beyond the average. But if you assume they're going to come in and 14% of them would be classified kids like the rest of us.
But your assumption, Mark, assumes that this district's cost of educating a child is right at the top of the bell curve, that we are in fact the average. You're talking about statewide averages?
No, I'm talking about our average.
Our average, okay.
Our average. Our average, you can go look it up, or you can just divide it out yourself. You can take the size of our budget and divide it by the number of kids. The 12,000 is pretty close to the average cost of educating a kid. The variable cost, you can do the math yourself. For every 20 kids, you hire a teacher. With benefits, $80,000, $100,000, you do the math. Every six kids, I think you did the math, every six children pays for a teacher. That means the next 14 are all additional revenue, unless you have to hire a nurse or something else. But even then, if you do that out,
understood. I think our analysis goes to are there kids, based on the kids we're taking, are there needs that put us outside the average, to your point?
Right.
Probably not. It's responsible for us to understand the money and how it's done and how it's broken.
That's a different issue, what you do with the money. But those are different questions. I absolutely agree with
that. And that's kind of, you know.
Do you think for full-day kindergarten we should have a breakdown and analysis of the costs involved, or does it not bother you?
Spending the money, though. That goes to the question of
that's part of the spending side. No
disagreement with that. To your point, Michelle, in the analysis, I think we probably want to, I haven't had a chance to look at it, I think we probably want to have the board digest it, and to your point, then it's a different issue. I mean, right. I think my personal request was show me the breakdowns and then show me how the pie is sliced. So
how you spend it?
Yes,
absolutely.
That's the
board ought to figure out. Okay, here's a pile of money coming in, $2 million or whatever it comes out to be. What do we want to do with the money? But I can't imagine why anybody would say, you know, let's not participate in the program. The program.
I don't think anybody's saying that.
A lot of people were saying, let's do an analysis before we decide to admit the 60 kids. I can't imagine why you wouldn't want to admit the 60 kids.
Because we have no plan.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
Why?
Your recommendation is just take as many as you can get and then do the analysis after the fact.
You take what you can handle within the confines of the capacity of the school. The capacity of the school is, what, 2,400 kids?
There's other factors.
It's more space.
But you can hire... You can hire all of the staff you need.
But how do you know what your thresholds are? How do you know what needs we may not be needing now of our children, and we could be compounding those needs by not addressing them first?
But you're generating all this additional revenue to take care of those needs.
Can I give you a hypothetical? I'm just like thinking outside the box here. But you open it up to whoever applies. You take in a group of students that might not be classified, but perhaps there are a majority of them eventually become classified. Then your costs are exponential.
You have that same exact risk with every child that moves into the district. Why would you assume
that?
But why would you assume that this group of children is more at risk than those? Why would they be different?
Why would you assume that they wouldn't be?
Because I assume you're going to get 100 kids, that you get a reasonably statistically representative sample. Why would that happen? Why would you get 100 kids, all of whom are going to be classified?
Well, let me give you another hypothetical. Let's suppose I'm a parent in another district, mm-hmm. and my child's having a difficult time in school, and perhaps they're a little bit of a behavioral issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they apply to our district, and we're unaware of the issue. But they came here because they thought fresh start. But now down the road, their needs are so significant that we need to address them, and it's going to cost more money.
Mm-hmm. And how would this study or this business plan alleviate that?
And in addition to that, this particular school choice option for me, I don't have the ability financially to move into Clinton Township.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the ability to pay the cost of living here. So I can live in my community and still have access to a better program for my child.
So let me back up and say, what business plan would predict that case?
The business plan should have scenarios built into it saying, these are the criteria that we will evaluate. These are the people who are going to be involved in the process of reviewing these candidates to give their expert opinion on, we need to be very, very careful because we realize that at fourth grade, a lot of our identifications begin to spike. So we want to take an extra closer look at the students here. We want to determine how they're going to fit in academically, because that's going to impact class size in some of the higher grades based on their placement and their previous academic skills. You do your best at scenario planning to say, we want to be careful here, we want to be careful here. This area, smooth sailing.
Do we get to pick, though, based upon people's resumes or curriculum, based upon their transcripts?
Yes, actually several things happened. We set the program that we are going to allow for children to apply to. So we set the program to be our K-8, general ed, and inclusionary settings. And then from there, anybody who applies needs to tell us whether or not they have a 504 plan or an IEP, and if they do, send us a copy. As well, prior to that, and in setting the amount of seats available, I meet with the principals and the directors and say, where do we see our growth rate? Where do we see sections being able to be moved between K and 5 so that we could accommodate any moves? And that's how I projected the number with the help of the leadership team. As well, projected our special ed needs currently and what could possibly be for next year. And in doing that, we figured out that we were at capacity in our inclusion settings from first grade to eighth grade. So we were unable to accept any child with an IEP from first grade to eighth grade. We did not advertise as such, because we're just advertising the whole program. We only accepted children with an IEP, if they had one, in kindergarten.
Okay. So there's no special ed kids coming in?
Outside of the
current
number that I gave you in the email,
current.
There will be...
We have a reputation of being good at that.
Okay.
So.
Right. Outside of the email I sent you today regarding the number that is currently in the program, which I cannot say publicly, might be some kindergarten students, and I will give you that number. But that's the only other place that we would accept children with an IEP into this program because of working with the leadership team and building out our capacity, even with our inclusion setting with co-teaching model. We know what numbers we want to do, and we know what kind of leeway we want to give ourselves just in case unknowns come into our district.
Right, so we're not taking in any more special
and out of the 55 well, that we took in, have some significant number of them developed in...
It's 1 year, it's not right.
That's not something we can't...
We're in an intervention and referral service process. It's a good question. I will look into if that has come up. It was not brought to my attention, Mr. Kaplan, that any of our choice students are in.
Obviously, it's only one way of data, but it's better than no data.
I think
it's
part
worth
of the financial
looking at.
Right, absolutely.
I agree. Part of the financial analysis should include where I'm getting it to, where the school choice the 60 to 115 are broken down in grade strata. You can plan additional needs for additional staff, additional resources
mm-hmm.
for higher grades if you get the strata on where these folks are coming. Mm-hmm. I would also think, and I don't know if we're going to close the book on that, but, well, that was it. I mean, I have another old business topic to bring up that I think is quasi-related, but if there's more...
Do you think it's out of the realm for us as a Board of Education to ask the administration to come up with a comprehensive business plan? I don't think it's out of the realm.
Well, because, for example, the number of kids per grade, we've discussed at other meetings... where we were with student-to-teacher ratios relative to other I districts in the mm-hmm. state. And we thought, and actually in many cases, we felt we were above we wanted to be based on our strategic plan.
And we have an ad hoc committee that is looking at classes.
I understand, but it is a factor. I mean, if we're bringing in 60 mm-hmm. more kids, how we must be hiring teachers or student-to-teacher ratio is going up.
And we're down 100 students from my first year here, but up 13 staff members. Granted, not all classroom teachers.
I totally get it. I'm just saying it is one of the factors.
Of
and it, to the financial argument, if you were at your max,
mm-hmm.
say you wanted to be at 22 kids to a mm-hmm. teacher, and we're at 24.
Right.
And now you're going to add 10 kids to that grade. Is it going to make you add one or two sections? You know, so maybe that kid's head count is disproportionate to mm-hmm. their
average.
You're saying it's
going to
tip it. And I understand.
There is a tipping point.
If it tips it over, but that's so. But if we're and I recognize your point, but I think what's important though is if we're that close already, then we have a need.
We
and
are.
This, we and then though this gives us a pool of money to fund
to
that
fix
need,
that exactly.
which you
we
agree.
Don't have
right.
any.
Which you would identify though in the business plan to say
yes, that's
this
all
is
I'm saying.
The number
that's
of kids we can accept, and if we go above that, this requires a new teacher, and then we know that.
And I say fine, and so we look at all that. I think. Doing all that is fine. Doing statistics is fine. But I think at this point, we have our feet are in the water, so that the PR just doesn't get out of control about this. Let's go forward with the program and continue with the statistical analysis parallel to it.
That's
That's right, yeah, I agree.
That's
fine.
Go ahead with the program.
Do the analysis now.
But don't stop doing it.
But do the analysis now because it puts us in a better position for our needs for 2013, 14, and beyond.
Well, you need it anyway to prepare next year's budget.
We
agree. You need to decide what you're going to do with the money.
Yeah, we agree. We would do it prior to accepting these 60 kids.
Right, but now that they're here, let's just go, let's not be wishy-washy with
I understand, and I feel horrible about not trying to be totally open with taking these kids in after we applied. But we shouldn't be in this position. We shouldn't have sent them letters on the 22nd until we had a fair discussion and a report back to the board, which is what we agreed to do and which is what you all expected.
All right, but we're here now. But this is where we're here now. So let's work with what we have. Let's do the statistic analysis, but let's go forward with the plan at the same time. Let's do it parallel.
I think the board agreed to do the analysis before we made a decision, and I think it would be negligent not to follow what we agreed to do on the 19th of December.
We are going to do the plan, but what are you suggesting otherwise? I mean, we just said we'll go ahead and do all the analysis, of course, but are you suggesting we tell everybody we're withdrawing from the plan? What are you suggesting?
No, suggesting we get we asked our attorney for an opinion.
Right.
On our obligations because that letter was sent on the 22nd.
Okay.
Correct.
We should get that opinion.
Yes.
It shouldn't
fine.
Take very long.
Plus, based upon what Kevin is telling us, he heard today in Trenton, we're going to get a written opinion from the State Department on that.
That's correct.
Okay.
But that's
which will be
PR
shared
piece.
With the board.
Yes.
Yeah, what do you know? Suppose the attorney comes back tomorrow and says, well, you won't be popular, but if you really want to, you could send a letter out and rename.
Well, then hurry up and get the analysis
that
done that we agreed on the 19th.
Then what?
How about we do what we said we were going
to
do, which
what?
Was the analysis before the commitment. We put the commitment before the analysis. So we said this at the beginning of this discussion. In parallel with getting the legal opinion, we quickly move forward with the discussion we said we would do.
Okay.
So that there's no question. What does it do to class size? What is it? What are the finances of it? What is the feedback from the public that signed up to participate in the ad hoc committee? That's what we agreed to do. So let's do what we agreed.
Can we have that information to have a meeting on Wednesday night? Which is one of the questions I asked before.
It sounds like Kevin sent a lot of it today. I haven't seen it.
We'll have to talk in the ad hoc meeting and make sure that we understand and see if that changes based on any other questions that the board has. But again, please email me by tomorrow night so that we'll have time to address that and put that into...
I'm assuming that people are under the impression that we're having a meeting on Wednesday night. So we would have to send something out to them.
Yes, we should send out either...
Hopefully tomorrow, but no later than, say, Wednesday morning.
Either a confirmation or a rescheduling.
Okay.
And then when do we meet as a board again?
The 23rd.
Not
is
until
the
23rd.
But I think that... Isn't the 23rd beyond all the dates that we were given?
It is, but we would only have to meet again if we wanted to take action on revoking the acceptance, which we don't even know if we can do.
Correct.
That would be the only reason to meet.
Correct.
What we're doing now is validating the acceptance that's already happened. We're working backwards.
Right. Anything else on that topic?
What?
Kevin, you said you had something else on old business?
Yeah, two items on old business. The first is sort of a brief housekeeping. On October 17th, the report of the Finance Committee set out a tentative timeline for the 2012-2013 budget. Granted, we have a new business administrator, Mr. Del Storti, but I was just curious as to what our steps are going to be next related to that timeline.
I inquired about it tonight to see if we can get the meeting going.
Yeah.
Kevin or Tony?
Well, we're going to have to meet with the Finance and Facilities Committee. Do take in account that Mr. Del Storti, though, is a genius at what he does, he is part-time with us.
Right.
So that does hamper the process.
Okay.
So under old business, I would put it to the board president and the personnel committee that they should look to re-advertise and look for a full-time business administrator.
What do we do in the meantime?
We are meeting and going over the calendar and see if we can still hold to those dates.
Because the tentative calendar does include it. It's not specific as to beginning, middle, or end, but there are presentations
we
to be made in this month of January. We're on the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is next Monday a possibility for the committee to meet?
I'm fine.
Next Monday?
Yeah,
I can do next Monday.
We can schedule around it whenever you need it.
Yeah, we got to
Mark, can you do it?
Yeah.
Who else is on that committee?
Me.
Kevin.
Tony, do you know what the status of the budget is?
Kevin's tomorrow.
Do you have an idea where we are?
Actually, we're in pretty good shape. We certainly can make a presentation.
Pat had given us a presentation right before she left.
Yes, she did an excellent job.
Needed work.
We may tweak that. We may have to look at that a little bit, but, you know.
If anybody can, if anybody from the committee can't make it, let me know.
No, we can, I'm in.
And then keep an eye on you, Mark.
One other, Jim, item on old business. I wanted to follow up on the meeting of the 19th regarding the discussion that was held after Principal Goat's presentation regarding full-day kindergarten. There was a consensus, if not a directive or a resolution, but certainly a consensus that we were going to conduct a fairly thorough financial analysis of that. And I just want to see where we are to that. Along the lines of what we're talking about here, this is a situation where now I think we need a fairly thorough cost-benefit analysis. We've got 60 kids coming in, let's assume, in the district. So we could up enrollment within the district outside of school choice by as much as 40 kids based on the numbers I've seen. So I think there was agreement amongst the board members that we were going to really crunch some data before we put this out there. I was just curious as to where we were on updates for that, if the board still agrees that this is something that needs to be thoroughly vetted. It's important. It's important to a lot of the people I talk to in the community. And it's a hot-button issue, and I really want to make sure that I've got all the information I can get my hands to, financial and otherwise, before I make a decision on this.
We can review that with the Finance Facilities Committee, and then with their recommendations, send that out to the full board, either that evening, next Monday, or the next morning.
It's not purely a facilities and finance discussion.
Right. I think it needs to be before the whole board.
It's something with policy.
I think the Fields and Science Committee can certainly look over the numbers.
The numbers, right. The numbers,
but
right.
Other than
but cost involved,
you
know, cost involved.
The benefit side is totally, not a financial issue. I mean,
right.
You can't put a price on it, so the whole
floor. But there's talk about, you know, what are we, there's offsets on transportation. How good are they, how bad are they?
Right.
How does the school choice impact it? I think we need to game scenario 40 kids coming into the district outside of school choice. The numbers spoke for themselves, and I actually asked Principal Goad, you've got 140 in first grade, you got 102 in kindergarten. Do you think that's because parents in the district are enrolling their children in outside full-day kindergarten? She said yes. If we go full-day kindergarten, I think we should assume 40 more kids. What are the extra teaching costs? What are the extra librarian costs, school nurse costs, meal costs, things of that nature? Is the curriculum prepared? How does it move forward?
Well, that goes back to the very simple thing.
So, I mean,
school choice.
Yeah.
Mrs. Goad actually worked that out, and is it forward that budget. And I'll share that with the full board as well.
This is yet another business plan opportunity.
No, it wasn't at the meeting. Did Principal Goad give an in-depth business, like, cost against the program?
Her proposal...
I mean, I heard it three times.
Her presentation was more, I think, on the educational benefit of full-day kindergarten and the results of the results of the surveys that went out to the community.
It didn't touch the finances.
Right.
She didn't touch
it. No, it was
not
about
her competency.
No.
Historical.
She's an educator. She's
right.
Crucial to get a grasp of.
But yeah,
right.
Historical
she
benefits.
She just talked about like the kids.
Right.
That's her
no.
role.
No, we didn't get that.
But we need...
Yeah, of course. We need to know what it's going to cost.
But look, I'll be honest. I'm not trying to sound inflammatory, but without that, I just can't. I can't see it coming through. I can't imagine the board would be prepared to vote on it without that.
No, it needs to know what it costs.
Yeah.
I think there should be input from the policy and curriculum committee.
Agreed. I think it's a board-wide issue because it touches all of what we did. So.
Okay. All right, Kevin. We'll conclude that. Anything else under old business?
Can we get an update on what happened at Patrick McGarren with the radon and the situation there?
As I had sent out to the, I was speaking to Mr. Sturgis and Mr. Dinkoff, we're looking for a tamper tape to be used, as asked for by board members. I got numbers of how many windows and sashes that need to be covered so that radiation data could order the amount needed. Given the added process, they believe they'll have to do the radon testing in tiers, do two schools on Monday the 16th, if possible, if they can get the tape in on time, and then two schools on the 23rd, if all goes well.
Could we ensure better and more timely notification and communication on this matter? Because
as soon as I got my email on Friday, I sent it right out to the district.
Okay, because... as he lays on to the council, I was contacted by the mayor, and he voiced his extreme displeasure about the short notification. People were contacting him. He said, "What's going on?"
Sure.
He said, "Mark, you're the liaison. Tell me what's happening." And I had to brief him about the situation as I knew it, and assured him that he thought we made the decision. I said it was not a Board of Education decision. It was decided by the
Supervisor. It was a recommendation from the ad hoc that we would not have any usage.
It was a recommendation from the ad hoc committee?
That is correct.
Okay.
On the date or on the...
On the weekend prior, so...
Because he was extremely disappointed.
I just don't recall that. I'm
I don't
sorry.
Recall it either.
The other thing is, even by doing two schools one weekend and two schools the other weekend, we should be in a position not to close the schools for recreation.
We went back and looked at the EPA protocol. And in reading it...
12 hours
of closed condition.
Yes.
They want 12 hours of closed conditions before you start the 3 to 5 day testing. I think we're doing 3 day testing, which would be four.
Monday,
Tuesday, Wednesday,
Thursday.
So okay. Sunday night is all we really needed.
Well, but even with that, the definition of what's the term closed? Closed conditions.
Right, normal usage. So
normal usage.
Which means if people are normally going in and out of the building on weekends, that would have been acceptable.
You've met closed conditions.
We didn't have to actually close the building. The building should have been set up for its normal entry and exit. But to be safe, let's say we'll just keep it closed on Sunday.
Yep.
That's what it actually says. Which
but
makes sense. You're supposed to be testing testing the radon level in a building as the building is normally used.
Now
it wouldn't make sense to bottle it up for 6 months and then measure it. That's not the way
could we relay that this time we don't have to close any schools?
I think you can relay that to the town.
All right, that's
right. We're all in agreement, right? We're not closing
schools. No, not yet.
Okay.
Because we're going to go back to our ad hoc committee.
Okay, so wait for the ad hoc
committee. Because I asked him, I told him it's postponed, and he said we're going to have to go through this again.
We've canceled the access to the schools. We're rereading the guidance, and we feel that it's not necessary.
Okay.
But I want to go back to the people who have been meeting for a year and contributing to that discussion.
Make sure they agree.
Yeah, just to talk to them about it. So we want to remove any opportunity for objection. We're spending a lot of money on this testing. We're doing some retesting. And we want to remove as many objections, potential objections in the process as we reasonably can. So that's where we're at right now, as of 4 o'clock today.
Thank you.
Anything
Mr. Carroll, as far as the TO-15, we agreed that we would do the TO-15 simultaneously with the radon. If we're going to go through all these gyrations of making sure the schools close on Sunday, tamper-proof tape, and pay for that, we talked about absolutely doing both together. And as of your emails on Friday, we were not doing that together.
Can we have them put those cans in there?
Can we put them in at the same time?
I'd asked Brinkerhoff if they could conduct the test simultaneously. They told me they could not, but I was not given a reason for that. I can follow up and ask what was the reason. Was it a matter of timing? They concerned with two canisters in a room? I'm only
Well, they're our consultant, so we're relying on them. I would like to go back to them and ask them to explain, because it's a little bit defies logic if the building's sealed.
Yeah, you might.
And you seal
I don't
the
know.
Building sealed. We spend money
are,
on the tape, or
that
you know.
Well, that's why we pay them.
Maybe it was just the timing issue; they couldn't get ready in time. Now they have an extra week.
They
maybe, maybe they can.
Maybe they
set
didn't
it
have
up.
Them on hand. I don't know.
Right.
Not only do they have an extra week, but they have only two schools to do at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they needed another week, we'd be wise to just delay until they could do them simultaneously.
Oh, it's just one.
It's one school.
TO-15
is one school. Just Patrick and Karen.
Yeah.
And it's all the 6 canisters or 8 canisters or whatever the number is. It's not anywhere near as extensive as the radon.
See if we can get an explanation from them.
Yeah, that would be
absolutely. One last thing under old business.
Jim, before we do that, the board had discussions in the past about, since Brinkerhoff did not follow their protocol for executing the TO-15 the first time through, that the board felt that it was appropriate that they repeat the test without additional cost. The email that came out indicated that they would reduce their cost. As I recall from the discussions in the board, it was a, and we didn't vote on this, but it was a consensus that they should repeat the testing since they did not follow the protocol they provided to us. They shouldn't charge us for the testing again for the T015. Do we need to revisit that conversation?
I remember we talked about this in the past, and my recollection on it was that issue of the cost of that of that, those tests. I think it was two of the four rooms mm-hmm. were in question, that we wanted to kick that to facilities and finance to deal with that vendor on the payment or lack of, or withholding of payment.
Right. But let's not muddy the waters now and not get the test done, I think is what we said. We'll deal with it later. But
it was never brought into committee.
We haven't met since then, but I mean, right. I think what you said at the public meeting, what I said was, there's the payment issue, there's the getting the testing issue.
Yeah.
Let's get the testing done. I'm afraid if we start now, because we don't want to pay for this, we'll be sitting without the testing getting done.
That's a very good point.
We're not going to walk away from that issue.
That's valid.
Right. Okay. And we may end up having to negotiate it. We may not get it for free. We'll have to decide, like everything else as a board,
the secondary
how long do we want to stick our foot in the sand here? We may have to give in, but for the community's
point of view. Thank you. I wasn't exactly sure what you guys were doing in the committee.
We haven't met yet.
We haven't. Okay. Addressed it formally, but we will.
You're still on it.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't done it yet. We haven't incurred the expense.
Community saying, right. Everybody else, right. Let's get the darn testing done first, and then we can take care of all these other issues. But we need to do that. So.
Good point. Thank you.
Kevin Malloy, you still can't make the date for the retreat? That's something you can't get out of?
I'm out of state now. Plane tickets and everything.
All right.
What is that date?
That was the 20, or was the weekend, it was the
28th.
28th. Yeah, I'm out of town between the 24th and the 31st.
Does the board want me to look, to talk to the individual doing the retreat? I think it's important for all board members to be there. I could look at the first or second Saturday in February.
I can do that. For what it's worth, too, I very much want to participate. So if you can accommodate, that would be fantastic.
First or second February in first or second February. First or second Saturday in February.
Is that not Sunday? So it won't interfere with the Super Bowl.
You know, I don't know that I'm available.
I don't know that I'm available that weekend.
Either one of
it
the two.
It depends if her team's in.
If my team goes, I'm going.
Who's the team?
Patriots.
Guys, awesome. What am I hearing here? It's your town or football?
Patriots.
I mean, come on.
Well, I move that we have it. We bring the retreat to Rachel.
Yes.
Tebow is
going to be. I think you Tebow again.
You know, just Tebow. He's going to play us. Not what just happened? Tebow. He's got somebody on his side.
You don't have to worry, Rachel. You'll be here.
Indianapolis.
Huh?
What? I don't even know. When is the Super Bowl?
First Sunday in February.
February 5th.
So should we look at the 11th?
Yeah, I will ask the person doing the retreat if she's available on either one of those two. But then we'll know after next weekend that you can make it, though.
No, you won't, because then...
No, aren't they playing Denver next weekend?
Yeah, but then they have to go to the championship game the following week.
They make it through.
He's suggesting you're going to lose next week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right, I will see if we can change that date.
Don't tell me I should get the ticket.
Anything under new business?
Two small things. Number one, can we update the website to show to now reflect Kevin Malloy on facilities and finance, and I guess Kevin Sturgis as the chairman of policy and curriculum on the district website. It's a small thing. I guess it was last updated in September 30th, I believe it was last updated. Could we update that just to reflect the current status as it stands?
Tony, can you take care of that? Have somebody in the office take care
Mr.
of that?
Mr. Malloy, the proper respect of being on the committee and Sturgis.
Yeah, Tony, you're not listed on the website.
You can just forward the email.
I couldn't find your contact information. I was trying to get a hold of you today.
If you call the business office, his name is listed as the...
Well, if you call Pat's old number, you get his recording, yes.
And number two, I know this, the individual in the audience was asking what the communications committee has done, and I just want to say, well, all committees are important on this board, equally important. Right now, I think the communications committee is doing a fantastic job of laying the foundation of hopefully the next successful search for a superintendent. I believe they're really putting a lot of work, a lot of good effort, and they are producing a lot of good material that is beneficial to our community, and I think all our stakeholders involved. So I just wanted to commend them.
Thank you.
Okay. Quick thing before you adjourn, just check the old calendar. Our meeting for facilities and finance, Monday is for summer holiday. I just want to make sure that's still okay for everybody. I don't know if this
is school president.
Yeah.
We're in session. We're in session.
I brought it up in case anybody was off and wanted to meet earlier.
16.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I'm off.
I am. If everybody, I am not going to be working from home or otherwise that day. If the committee's free to meet earlier, that works for me too. Just letting you know, there's flexibility there. Of course, if anyone wants to help me, bath time at 7.
You work that day, Mark?
Hmm?
Wait, do you work that day?
It's Boeing. I got planes to crank out.
Any new business needs to come before the board? Any additional new business? Then we have a second recognition of the public. If you'd like to ask another question, raise a concern, make a statement.
I'll make just a quick statement. I think regarding the, there is a point where the variable cost will be higher. I mean, it's not as many as you get. There is a precise point where there's the optimum. In other words, that one extra student could put you in a situation where it costs you. So you may want to have a small reserve just in case one student just comes in from our own system. That puts us into that point.
Yeah, if the numbers go up dramatically, fixed costs are no longer.
Yeah, in other words, you used the example, I think, of six. Once you have six, everything after that, I don't want to use the wrong word, it sounds like gravy, but it's not exactly that way because the variable costs at a certain point do cost more.
Yeah, obviously, if we brought in 1,000 kids, we'd have to build another building.
Let's say that 25 kids is what you're saying is that you want per class.
Mm-hmm.
And you start off with 6, that means you have room for 19. But if you go for exactly 19, it may just turn out that you end up with 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, you're stuck.
Right.
So you may have to keep an eye on that number.
Yeah.
And not try to max it.
Right.
The other variable is we don't know what happens with our in-district enrollment.
Yeah.
We've had a huge change June to September, which we never quite really figured out the reason for that.
That was
outside of the amount of students, I mean, we lost. When you look at the current 8th grade class compared to last year's class, it's like 20 kids different.
Yeah, but it wasn't like an aging out issue. It didn't
appear.
Right,
and when we looked over the course of the year, there was we were down 11 students overall. But the drop really was that what we're seeing coming in compared to what we had in our 6th, 7th, and 8th grade over the course of those 3 years.
You have some people moving out of Clinton Township and probably not as many moving in.
Birth rates are down.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of demographic issues. It's very hard.
Enrollment's down everywhere across the city.
Yeah.
Any other items under new business? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion that we adjourn.
So moved.
So moved by Mark Kaplan,
seconded
by Michelle. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.